Hey there, sex fans, welcome back. Today is Monday, October 29th, 2007, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, Dr. Dick. That's me. Hey, happy Halloween, everybody. I know it's a couple of days early, but what the heck, right? Today's program is once again brought to you by Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. I know many of you have sexual performance concerns and questions. Hey doc, what's the best sexual positions for butt fucking? How do you give a really great blowjob? Say, I think I want to get into bondage, but I don't know where to begin. You know, stuff like that. Well, now you don't have to wait for me to respond to your pressing query. Just mosey on over to Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library and let some of the experts show you how it's done. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, wonderfully enriching, and extremely informative videos right there on your computer screen. How sweet is that? Listen, I have a really juicy show for you today, but before we begin, I'd like to remind you of the Lickety Split Sex Advice Podcast Voicemail Hotline at 866-422-5680. This is a free, no-pressure voicemail kind of setup. No human will answer your call, least of all me. So don't be shy, my pretties. I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Okay, on with the show. Our first correspondent today is Owen, 31, from Sydney. He writes, I got a penis pump as a gag gift for my last birthday. We all got a good laugh when I opened the package with all my friends sitting around. I put it away thinking I would never use such a thing, mostly because I didn't know how to use it. Fast forward to a couple of weeks ago. I was bored, and while rummaging through my closet, I came up with the pump. I decided to figure out how it worked. It was great fun, but I would never tell anyone about this. On a whim, I decided to put my balls in the pump because I'm really into ball play. I discovered that I like this even more than I like the pump on my cock. I don't know who else to ask, so here goes. Is ball pumping dangerous? You are such a clever lad, Owen. See, what they say about idle hands being the devil's workshop is true, huh? Actually, guys have been stretching their balls for just about as long as men folks have had balls to stretch, and that's a mighty long time. The only thing that screams male virility and potency as much as a big dick is a pair of low-hanging nuts. In fact, in many societies throughout history, a man's cojones were considered sacred. They were revered as objects of religious, social, cultural, and even magical powers. In fact, in ancient Rome, when a man would take an oath, he would grab his balls, just like we put our hand on a Bible today. In fact, that's where we got the word testify, from the Latin testes. Men discovered early on that ball stretching was both erotic fun and relatively easy to do. Just to clarify, when I say ball stretching, what I really mean is sack or scrotum stretching. One can't really increase the size of his balls, testes, that is. Soon, men in many societies were stretching their junk just to call attention to their manliness. With the help of a stretching device of one sort or another, and there are several, men were able to lengthen their balls with very little effort. So you've discovered the joys of ball stretching using your penis pump, huh? Well, you're not alone. This is a very popular fetish pastime. Since you already know that your balls are very sensitive to touch, pressure, temperature, let's spend a minute or two getting acquainted with what we have there hanging between our legs. Our family jewels, formerly called testes, are nestled within our nutsack, formerly called scrotum. Your two gonads, some guys are born with just one, are your male reproductive organs. They are kind of oval shaped and are, on the average, 1 3/4 inches long by 1 inch wide. Each ball resides in its own independent sac, and your left nut probably hangs a little lower than your right one. This is nature's way of keeping them from banging into one another all the time. Your NADs produce the male hormone testosterone, and also produce sperm cells. Each one has a number of small tubes attached to it called the epididymis. There's another tube attached to each ball called the vas deferens, or the chord. The vas deferens carries your sperm cells to the prostate gland, where the sperm is mixed with seminal fluid. And when the time comes, the whole mess comes shooting out of your Johnson as spooge. Why not take a moment to carefully fondle one of your balls? If you can picture in your mind's eye the anatomy of your testicle while you are groping down there, you can actually feel the difference between the epididymis and the vas deferens. If you're not familiar with your testicular anatomy, search the internets for a nice visual aid, like a diagram. These diagrams are not hard to find. Even this gentle, non-erotic probing feels way good, huh? No wonder having someone suck on our nuts can drive us boys crazy. But I digress. We'll get to your question about ball pumping safety in a minute, Owen. But before we do, I'd like to take this opportunity to look at alternative means of ball stretching for those in my audience who would like to experiment but don't have a pump. The first method is the simplest, and you don't even need no stinking equipment. Let's call this the manual method. All you do is give your huevos a nice sustained tug. Alternate your tugging with some nice ball massage. Over time, this will help lengthen your ball sack because you are manually forcing it downward. The more you pull, and the longer you pull, the more you will affect the hang of your balls. This method is particularly effective after a hot bath or shower. Your skin will be at its most pliable then. This method is safe and effective, and even a rank amateur can pull it off, so to speak. You're not going to see a lot of results immediately, but your patience will pay off. Listen, even if your objective is not to get lower hanging balls, this is a fun and pleasurable exercise all on its own. It might just get you to play with your balls while you're jerking off, and that will make both you and your nuts much happier. Kicking things up a notch, you can invest in a relatively inexpensive ball stretcher. You'll find a whole bunch of them in Dr. Dick's stockroom. You can find a link to this treasure trove of sex toys and fetish gear right there on DrDicksSexAdvice.com. Look for the tab that reads My Stockroom. The most common type of stretcher is the leather band. There are also neoprene and metal ones too. Simply put, these little buggers just make a space between your testicles and your body. The thicker the band, the greater the space, obviously. Some of these stretchers come weighted. Others allow you to add weights to them. This is probably not advised for the novice stretcher, but you'll be surprised at how much fun this can be. Just have your wits about you when you try this. Too much weight for too long a time can cause serious injury. Make sure you also use a lubricant to help reduce chafing during your stretching sessions. Also, if you do use weights, don't move around a lot when you have them attached. That's just common sense. Now, to the vacuum pump method. Some guys pump their balls separate from their dick, as apparently you do, Owen. Others pump their cock and balls together. There are even specifically designed cylinders to facilitate this. For safety's sake, keep your pumping sessions to 10 minutes or less. You can throw in a nice massage session afterwards and you'll be a happy fella. Remember, overuse or over-enthusiastic pumping can cause blood vessel damage, bruising, and blistering. If you're lucky enough to have a pressure gauge on the device you're using, always keep the pressure between -5 and -10 mercury inches, never more. Your scrotum is highly elastic, so the lengthening you produce will most likely be temporary. That is, unless you do this on a regular basis. Effects will diminish over a period of 24 to 48 hours. Good luck! Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Next, we hear from Chris P. P, I wonder what the P stands for. He's 21. He writes from Montgomery, Alabama. Can it be unhealthy to deliberately avoid male ejaculation for long periods of time? Months? Years? Is it practiced maybe by religious? Can it be done? Yes, it can be done, and no, it's not necessarily an unhealthy practice. Some people practice total sexual abstinence for their entire adult life. Some of these people do so for religious reasons, others simply because they're not particularly interested in sex. Either way, there is no real evidence that this practice is injurious to one's health. What I can say for sure is that if one chooses or embraces sexual abstinence as a means to a higher goal, that's virtuous. If abstinence is mandated, or practice out of fear or repression, there's no virtue there. That being said, I want to remind you of something I've written about a lot recently. It concerns the groundbreaking research on the connection between masturbation and prostate cancer. Australian researchers questioned over 1,000 men who had developed prostate cancer and 1,250 men who had not about their sexual habits. They found that those who ejaculated the most between the ages of 20 and 50 were less likely to develop prostate cancer. The protective effect of frequent ejaculations was greatest when men were in their 20s. Get this, men who ejaculated more than 5 times a week were 1/3 less likely to develop prostate cancer later in life. Kind of amazing, huh? I think you should also know that even if you don't purposely ejaculate, like through jerking off or partnered sex, your body still needs to rid itself of old, stale semen in another way. Think of it like this. When your bladder gets full, you take a whiz. When your prostate and seminal vesicles get full, you take a jizz. It's just as simple and natural as all that. If you don't relieve yourself of your joy juice on your own, your body will rid itself of your old spooge in a wet dream, or it will flush it out of your system in your urine. It's like if you didn't relieve yourself when your bladder got full, you'd piss anyhow, only you wouldn't be able to properly direct it. Get it? Got it? Good. Good luck. Next, we hear from TC. She's a female. She's only 13, and she writes from Indiana. I really don't know that much about sex, so I let my boyfriend do it all. He keeps calling me a scaredy cat, because I won't touch his dick or give him any pleasure, and he's getting really bored with me. Gosh, I am so sorry to hear the trouble you're having with your boyfriend. Actually, he's no friend at all. Real friends honor their friends' limits and boundaries, and he is not doing that. You can't be expected at your tender age to know all that much about sex. Hell, you don't even sound like you're particularly interested in the topic. You don't mention your boyfriend's age, but it sure sounds like he is way more advanced than you, at least when it comes to his interest in sex. Unfortunately, he's not so advanced that he's man enough to leave you alone when you ask him to. And that really makes me angry. Bullying, belittling, or harassing someone for sex, particularly when it's clear that that person is not ready or interested, is abuse. And that is not a good thing ever. I know the kind of pressure that you are experiencing. You want a boyfriend, and you want your boyfriend to like you. But if you let him take advantage of you, it's not the same thing as him liking you. It's more an indication that he's focused on his needs and desires, not yours. I don't think his behavior indicates that he cares for you, but he's showing you that he has power over you, and he is able to manipulate you into doing what he wants. And what kind of relationship is that? Listen, TC, you don't have to submit to him. You can stand tall and tell him no. He will, in the end, respect you more for your courage to defy and deny him than if you just cave in to his will. I hasten to add that in the eyes of the law, he is a criminal. He is taking advantage of an underage person for his own sexual gratification, and that's illegal. If you guys get busted, there will be hell to pay. I'm not sure I know what you mean when you say that you let your boyfriend do it all. But it sure doesn't sound like a good thing to me. If he's having his way with you, even though you are being very passive about it, that don't make it right. I hope this isn't how you intend to interact with other males who will come into your life in the future. And there will be plenty of them. If they sense that you are weak and vulnerable, you will be a goner for sure. You will wind up being a victim for the rest of your life. Please, TC, don't let this happen to you. I know you'd much rather be thinking about a lot of other stuff at this time in your life, but the situation with your boyfriend demands that you grow up fast and get savvy about the fundamentals of sex right away. I will have a number of resources for you in a minute, but I can't emphasize enough how important it is for you to wise up about pregnancy protection. I wish I didn't have to say this to you, but I must. If you are being sexually active, even if you are just letting your boyfriend do everything, you absolutely must protect yourself from an unwanted and unplanned pregnancy. If you don't, you will find that you will be the one having to deal with the consequences. If your boyfriend is not considerate enough to respect your wishes when it comes to sex in general, you know for sure that he's not going to be around to look after you and your unborn child. Okay, here are those resources I mentioned. If you can't remember all of these, don't worry. I've added them to the blog roll or link section on my site. I have several resources for you. The first is Planned Parenthood, PlannedParenthood.org. The second, Scarlet Teen, it's ScarletTeen.com. Third, TeenWire, that's TeenWire1word.com. Next is Sex Ed 101, that's sex-ed101.org. Finally, Advocates for Youth. That's advocatesforyouth1word.org. Promise me that you will take this seriously, that you will not just roll over, literally or figuratively. Promise me that you will respect yourself and take a stand and not allow your boyfriend to manipulate you into doing anything you do not want to do. More hangs in the balance here than you can possibly comprehend. You'll have to trust me on this. One last thing. If you are wise enough to find my sex advice website and you are mature enough to write to me, then I believe that you are strong and resourceful enough, despite your tender age, to stand up to your boyfriend. Do it now. Demand that he respect you, your body, and your wishes. Good luck. Hey, Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number again? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Again, 866-422-5680. Now, a couple of quickies. Catherine Joan, 42, Alberta, Canada, she writes, I am in a very loving, understanding, compassionate relationship, which I have been waiting for some time now. The only thing is, he stimulates my emotional side in every way, but in the bedroom, he is not as sexual as previous partners. I do not know if this is because all my previous relationships have always been only about the sex, and then fizzled out shortly thereafter, or this is how a real love thing truly is. If so, how could I mentally get over this one? He's just not inventive. Or maybe he just lacks sexual knowledge. I don't want to end this loving relationship over a bed issue. Please help me out on this one so I don't sabotage this relationship. Sincerely, Catherine. Like my mama always used to say, if it has four wheels or a dick, you know you're going to have trouble with it. Listen, darling, if this guy satisfies as much as you say, hold on to him. He's a keeper. You can always teach the old dog some new tricks. Of course, you're going to have to take the lead in his sex ed. Let's just hope he's not threatened by a woman who is more sexually experienced, adventurous, and progressive than he is. That being said, I think you ought to make your peace with the fact that he's probably never going to become a wild fuck. But then again, you probably don't want that, because those wild fucks don't make for really good, loving, understanding, and compassionate partners, as you already know. Just remember, it's as hard to domesticate a wild fuck as it is to make a domestic fuck wild. Good luck. Jamie's next, 28, from Georgia. She writes, lately, when me and my boyfriend have sex, he's been pulling out because he says his dick burns. Why is he having that problem? What have you got going on in your pussy, girl? Nothing about a healthy cunt is going to irritate a guy's dong. See your doctor right away. Hey, maybe he's the one with the problem. Maybe he has some kind of skin irritation or rash or something, and his willy is getting even more irritated inside you. He ought to see his doctor right away. Say, have you seen his dick up close and in good light lately? Ever? I am painfully aware that lots of couples never see one another fully naked, even when they're doing the nasty. This is not a good practice. You should not only know all about your own pussy and how to keep it in perfect working order, but you should have some working knowledge of how a healthy cock looks and operates. If you're not clear on this, you have some homework to do, darling. And what the fuck are you two screwing around without a condom? Are you on the pill? You'd better be, because if you ain't, you're going to have a whole lot more to worry about than cock burns, if you catch my drift. Good luck. Dr. Dick, what is that toll-free podcast voicemail telephone number? Why, it's 866-422-5680. Don't be shy. Let it fly. Finally, we hear from Elise. She's 22. She writes from Tustin, California. I have this boyfriend who decided to get some lube for me so when we have sex, I wouldn't be as sore. And if we wanted to go for another round, he wouldn't have to worry about hurting me. Well, we were talking on Instant Messenger one time about it, and he told me all the women before never had problems being lubed, and that he never had a situation where he had to use lube. Because I had asked him why he didn't know much about lube or where to get it. Well, he had 80 plus sex partners before. That really, really scares me. Is there something wrong with me? I mean, it's not that I'm not wet down there. I am. It's just that it dries up really fast on the outside when he pulls out. Even if I'm still really horny and still want to go for another round of sex. I really don't understand it. And I'm worried that there's some medical condition with me, since I am the only one he's needed lube for out of all those many women. Listen, Elise, there's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. It's your boyfriend who's got the problem. He's full of shit. This dude is fucking with your head, and I know exactly why he's doing it. Shame on him for shifting the blame to you for his inadequacy, ignorance, and inexperience, and for being so misinformed about the fundamentals of female sexuality. What a jerk. Kick this monkey to the curb, why don't you? And find yourself a man that really knows what he's doing, not some blowhard braggart. I'm going to go way out on a limb here and guess that your boyfriend is about your age. Do correct me if I'm wrong. I'd wager my last dollar that he's bullshitting you big time about his sexual prowess. Unless your boyfriend is a part-time porn star, no guy in his early 20s has had anywhere near that many female sexual contacts. It just doesn't happen. And I can say with certainty about your man, because if he was mature enough to have had wooed over 80 women into sex, he would absolutely know how essential lube is to a successful and mutually satisfying fuck. You are right to be suspicious of him. Any doofus who doesn't know about lube or even where to get some is a rank amateur, and he shouldn't be let anywhere near a sweet pussy till he wises up. Here's the 411 on natural female lubrication and personal lubes, and you can go to the bank on this information. First, in terms of natural female lubrication, no two women are exactly alike. There are also numerous variables that will impact on the amount of natural lubrication any one woman will produce at any given time in her life. These include age, overall health, diet, stress levels, use of birth control, hydration, estrogen levels, menopause, and environmental chemicals like the stuff in soaps and detergents, just to name a few. Some women produce loads of natural lubrication, others very little. And I might add, it's not unlike the pre-cum production in men. Some men drip like a leaky faucet, others pre-cum is virtually non-existent. You say you get wet down there. Okay, things are working, as they should. Are you producing enough natural lubrication to make for an effortless fuck? I guess not, particularly if your lovemaking lasts longer than a wham-bam thank you ma'am. But here's the thing, even if you had the wettest pussy in town, you'd still want to have a stash of nice personal lubricant handy and available just in case, or to supplement what your body is already producing. And here's a tip. Don't ever leave this kind of intimate decision about what you're going to use in the recesses of your body to someone who doesn't even have a pussy. That's just plain dumb. I mean, would you let a man pick out a feminine hygiene product for you to use? I think not. Be proactive, Elise. If you're old enough to fuck, you are sure as hell old enough to be familiar with the intimate workings of your own body. If at 22 you still have questions about natural female lubrication in general and or your own capacity to produce natural lubrication in particular, then you've got some remedial boning up to do. No pun intended. I am of the mind that every sexually active woman and man should be well versed in two very important things. First and foremost, you should know all about contraception, and you and your partner or partners should be practicing at least two methods. Better safe than sorry. Second, you should know the fundamentals about lube and condoms, particularly if you are mixing the two. Some lubes work great with condoms, some lubes don't. And you ought to know the difference. Don't expect your male lovers to be more knowledgeable or prepared than you are. Remember, men can rarely think beyond the stiffness of their dick. To the question of personal lubricants, there are dozens and dozens to choose from. There are water-based, silicone-based, oil-based, sugar-free, flavored, warming, arousing, desensitizing lubes, just to mention a few. Don't know what the difference is? Well, darling, you have your work cut out for you. I hasten to add that this doesn't have to be a chore. The internet is right there at your fingertips. Search for personal lubricants and marvel at the wealth of free information that is available. Just about every online retailer will have loads of information about the different kinds of lubes they sell. Here's another tip. Before you spend your hard-earned money on a bottle of one or another kind of lube, why not try a sampler pack? Several online retailers offer numerous variety packs for you to choose from. Why not have a lube party, where you and your gal pals or you and your boyfriend sample all the lubes that come in the assortment? This way, you'll not only be educating yourself, but your friends and your lovers will be learning right along with you. Good luck. Yikes! Look at the time! Well, that's it for today, sex fans. I'm so glad that you could join me. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How To Video Library. Check it out! Look for the Video On Demand tab right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. There's no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. Remember, your pay-for-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Sweet, huh? And don't forget to look for Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You will find me in the podcast section under Health, subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. And don't forget to subscribe. Until next week, remember, sex is good, and good sex is even better. Over and out.